on The Book Show with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
It's a divisive issue across the church. Many in culture are concerned and unsure what to think also. Here's a chance for us to talk to two experts today who have dealt personally with the situation that's addressed in their new book, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, a Biblical and Compassionate Response to Same-Sex Attraction. We're talking about Dr. Nancy Hache and Joe Dallas. Joe's going to talk to us first. He is past president of Exodus International, the author of Desires in Conflict and When Homosexuality Hits Home. And the last time we talked to Joe was when that book came out. We're very excited to have Joe Dallas back on the air with us again today. Good to have you back on The Bookshelf.
Sure, good being here, and I appreciate you having me back.
Now, I know that you came out of the gay lifestyle yourself, that you've been involved in counseling to homosexuals who want to leave the gay lifestyle and become straight. So I know that that is a kind of a controversial situation for you as far as your relationship to people who are still involved in gay rights, say, that they don't take that very well.
Often they don't, but really, although you're right, it's a controversial issue, it really shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that controversial to the church to realize that there are people who walk away from homosexual behavior, because in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, Paul described just such people when he said that people who engage in different sexual and moral sins will not inherit the kingdom, and he named homosexuality as one of those, and then he turned around and said, and such were some of you. So as long ago as the New Testament was written, we have record of people who, because of their position as Christians, realize that homosexuality is not God's will for them, and therefore they walk away from sexual relations with the same sex. And really, in a pluralistic culture, it shouldn't be so controversial either. If we do believe in freedom of choice, if we really believe in autonomy, then we should all recognize, whether Christian or not, that people have the right to decide for themselves whether or not homosexuality is for them a moral option. And there will always be people who are going to say, no, this isn't, and therefore I have to abandon it. So, yes, it's controversial, but no, it shouldn't be.
We really, the thing about this book that is so interesting to me is that you guys, working together and a couple of other people who've contributed articles, cover a wide spectrum of the situation involving relationships between homosexuals and the church, gay parenting, gays in the military, and the homosexual churches, and so forth. And in particular, you contributed articles on counseling to gay people who want to leave the lifestyle, and also a response to the pro-gay theology and also gays in the military. So I really would like to talk to you for our time together about those subjects. Tell me a little bit about the homosexual church movement.
This is actually a movement that's been going on for decades now. There has been an attempt to revise the biblical references to homosexuality to, in essence, make the Bible condone homosexual behavior. And that's something I call the pro-gay theology. It's gained a lot of momentum, especially in this past decade, as you and probably most of our listeners are aware. Mainline denominations are debating this issue as we speak. The United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, the Presbyterian Church USA, and others are all now debating whether or not to ordain openly homosexual men and women, whether or not to bless same-sex unions or same-sex marriages. And that is because there is a new interpretation of the Bible that has been around for decades, but only lately has gotten a lot of publicity and a lot of exposure. So, of course, to be relevant to our times, to be good stewards of truth, we need to know what some of the common errors of the time are. And this, I believe, is one of the, becoming one of the commonest errors, is the error of teaching that homosexuality could be legitimate in God's sight. And many people, even many believers, are falling for that particular error. So, again, that's why that chapter is included in the book, because it basically tells you how to respond if someone comes to you with the pro-gay interpretation of the Bible. It explains to you what that interpretation is and how to refute it.
Let's take some examples. The first, the most obvious, is that God created Adam and Eve in his own image and put them in the garden and made them male and female. And another obvious one is the traditional position of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah based on the lifestyles of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. The pro-gay theology would have us believe that they were destroyed because of their inhospitability, that they weren't welcoming people, and therefore they were destroyed because hospitality is a big deal in the Middle East. But you make a pretty cogent argument against that interpretation.
Well, clearly, the destruction of Sodom happened for a number of reasons, not just because homosexuality was widely practiced there. There were many evils that were openly practiced there, and the degree of evil is evidenced in the fact that all of the men of the city, young and old, would turn out to rape two strangers who came into the city. I mean, whether the rape would be homo or heterosexual, it's just abhorrent to think that a whole city would condone such a terrible thing. But clearly, their sin does go beyond just inhospitality, and at that particular time, especially, the sexual nature of the sin was evident, because when the men came to Lot's home and said they demanded to know his guests, the two male angels who had come there to be with him, he offered his daughters to appease the crowd. So clearly, it was a sexual intention that the men of the city had. But as I say in the book there, I don't believe Sodom was destroyed just because of homosexuality, but clearly homosexuality was broadly practiced there and was part of the wickedness that God judged the city for.
To me, that sets the tone of the whole book, too, because the tone of the whole book is not let's beat up people who are different than us or let's condemn them to hell and not give them any hope. Rather, what you did through your work with Exodus International and what you continue to do is to throw a lifeline to people who are caught in behaviors and in a lifestyle that is destructive to them, but is not any more evil than people who are heterosexual who are committing adultery or theft or anything else. To God, sin is sin. There's not a pecking order of sin. And what you're trying to do in this book, it seems to me, is help Christians to understand that.
Well, exactly right, because one thing that does make this sin a little different these days is that it is a sin that the culture is now legitimizing, and large parts of the culture are turning to the church and saying, you should legitimize it as well. Now, that makes it different than adultery, fornication, the use of pornography, other sexual sins, because those particular sexual behaviors don't seem to have movements behind them that are trying to legitimize them. But homosexuality definitely is a sin that the Bible condemns, and it is a practice that is being widely approved of in the culture, and on top of that, there is pressure on the church coming directly from the culture to change its position on this. And that's why we felt the need to write this book, because many Christians are confused. First, a little bit confused as to what the Bible really says about homosexuality. And then many believers would say, well, I know the Bible says this is a sin, but what should I be doing about it? Am I supposed to go to my gay friends and tell them they're in sin? What if I'm invited to a gay marriage ceremony? What if I have a brother or a son or a father who is gay? you know, what if gay people want to come to my church? And what about gays in the military? And what about gay adoption? So there are so many questions that the subject raises, and all of those questions are addressed in this book.
And that brings up, too, a common problem for Christians, not only in dealing with situations like this, but in others, maybe more particularly difficult in situations like this. If we go to, let's say, a celebration of a gay union, does our presence there indicate acceptance of the lifestyle, or would it be just interpreted as these are our friends or this is a member of our family and we're going because we love them, even though we're not crazy about what's going on? That's a real gray area there.
It is. Here's the bottom line, and I address this in the book. I do believe that God calls us to love all people, and I see nothing in the Bible that tells me I can't have a friend who is homosexual, that I could not have that person in my home, have dinner with him or her, have a friendly, respectful relationship. I don't see any moral compromise in that. However, if I go to a wedding ceremony, my presence there is not just a statement of my love for the people getting married. It's also a statement of approval. To go to a wedding means to stand and say, I bless this relationship. I support this relationship. And as a Christian, I could not in good conscience do that at a wedding ceremony for two people of the same sex, because I believe that I would be violating my own conscience. I could love them. I could continue to be their friend. But I would have to explain to them, gosh, I'm sorry, but I would never ask you to say that you support something that you don't really support, and I'm hoping that you can show me the same respect.
Once again, it boils back to being honest with each other and to tell the truth in love, not to throw it back at them, but to explain privately and to be considerate for their feelings, but to also expect them to be considerate of yours.
Exactly.
I wish that we had longer, because I'd really loved it to talk about gays in the military, openly serving in the military, after the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy was recently rescinded in the Congress. And I know this is a big event. It's significant enough because it just opens all sorts of other things. If the military says that you can openly serve as a homosexual in the military, that opens up all of those. What about your partner? Do they get death benefits and on and on, right?
Certainly. I think the issue is going to turn out to be much more complicated than we probably figured on, but it's one we have to face.
Laws are laws, and they get passed and they get unpassed. So we'll see if anything changes in this new Congress. But if whether it does or does not, certainly this is something that is going to be on the table for some time to come.
No question.
Joe Dallas, our guest today, one of our guests today, talking about his new book, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, A Biblical and Compassionate Response to Same-Sex Attraction. It's from Harvest House Publishers. His co-editor, Nancy Hache, is going to be joining us next, and we're going to be talking with her about dealing with a gay spouse, adult children, and gay parenting. She's had experience dealing with a spouse and with a child, and so we thank Joe for joining us, and Nancy is next. All right.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. Hope we can work together again soon.
Me too, Joe. Thanks so much.
Take good care. God bless.
Well, as we welcome Joe Dallas back to On the Bookshelf, so we welcome Dr. Nancy Hache, who is with us when her book, The Truth Comes Out, was first released, and we talked to her on the bookshelf. She is, of course, a high-profile mom. Her daughter, Anne, is an actress, well-known actress, who was involved in a highly publicized lesbian affair with Ellen DeGeneres. After a while, Anne decided that that was not the direction that she wanted to go, and she left the gay lifestyle. A large part of that story, which you remember if you were with us the last time we talked to Nancy, was the 25 years that she was married to Anne's dad, who lived a secret life as a homosexual and didn't discover he was gay until he was diagnosed with AIDS. Nancy these days is a Christian counselor who works through a Presbyterian church in Naples, Florida, where she lives. And she is the other editor of The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, a biblical and compassionate response to same-sex attraction from Harvest House Publishing. And as you can well imagine, Nancy knows an awful lot about dealing with the situation because she has dealt with it personally. Nancy, thanks for joining us again on the Bookshelf.
Thank you, Dave. It's such fun to be with you and an honor to be with you.
Thank you. For me, too. You contributed about a half of the book. Joe contributed about a half of the book, and there were several other people that contributed various articles, but the two of you did the lion's share of the writing of this book. And the part of the book that I felt would be most appropriate for us to talk about today were those that touched you personally. You have articles on dealing with a gay spouse, the parent's dilemma, adult children who come out of the closet, and gay parenting. What would you like to talk about first? What direction should we go with this first?
Well, maybe we should start with the first one, which was my husband's, and do it chronologically.
That makes sense. Let's do that.
As you mentioned in my introduction, gracious introduction, thank you, that I didn't know this was a secret life that my husband was living, and I found out 2 weeks before he died that he had been diagnosed with AIDS. I knew this was in 1983, Dave, so that was a long time ago, a whole different world around homosexuality and AIDS. Actually, since then, AIDS just skyrocketed, and now there are a lot of medications, and so it's a little different situation, and I don't think there's as much publicity as there was for many years when there were so many deaths.
Right.
So my husband died, and I thought, okay, I don't ever want to say the word homosexual again. I was so angry at him. I really was filled with fear and anger and confusion. How could this happen in a Christian family? So I thought, we were the perfect Christian family. Went to church 3 or 4 times a week, and we taught Sunday school and had Bible studies in our home, and he was the church choir director and organist. And how could this happen to me? And so without really saying it, I was angry at God, which he revealed to me later so that I could confess it. But we tried to just go on as if nothing happened. We told people he died of cancer. I didn't tell anybody he died of AIDS for almost 10 years. So it was a very shameful thing and a very secret thing.
Dealing with that, this gives you a particular empathy for other women who are finding out accidentally that their spouses have been living a double secret life. And
yeah.
What a horrible feeling this must be for them, a feeling of it's bad enough to be betrayed if your husband is cheating on you with another woman, but when you find out that's with another man, this is going to be a particularly deep pain. How do you help women?
Yes, it's a whole different ball game, because it opens up sexual brokenness in a whole different way from adultery with the opposite sex, and it's so much more complicated.
When your life got even more complicated when, after this difficult situation, a few years later, your daughter Anne decided that she was a lesbian, and so you were forced to once again deal with a very uncomfortable situation for you, and still a lot of unresolved anger issues. Here they all come bubbling to the surface again, right?
Yes, and what I think God, one of the things he began to teach me is that he always gives us a second chance to get it right, or at least a third or fourth or fifth chance to get it better, because he wants to heal. When he keeps bringing up an issue, this is what I've learned. If he keeps bringing up an issue and I haven't dealt with it, that means he wants to heal it. And so I believed that God was going to heal me, began to teach me. He began to give me his heart about this issue, and I was ready by now. I don't know whether it was because a daughter instead of a husband, it's a blood relative instead of just a marriage. I don't know what the difference is, but I was in a place spiritually prepared, getting equipped to deal with it and have God reveal his heart to me around the issue.
So you've really been enabled by the Holy Spirit to be a bridge between the church and the homosexual community. You've because of your husband, because of your daughter, you have the opportunity to be maybe seen in a different light than somebody like me who would just be walking in cold. This gives you an opportunity to reach out to both sides of this then.
It does, Dave, and I appreciate that so much. I completely believe that God has been in this, of course, and that he had a plan from before the foundation of the world. Some such beautiful people and ministries and ministering times have happened. And I look back on it. The other day I said to somebody, we had just finished a fabulous prayer time together with a family who's dealing with it, and God just poured out his word and his spirit. And when it was all over and we were all finished crying and done with the prayer time for at least the time being, I said, and just think, this could not have happened if my husband hadn't lived a secret homosexual life. God redeems these things, David. If there's any message I can say, it's a love story. God is working his love story in us, and it's a story of redemption. What we think when families start out, when wives or parents or kids now or grandparents hear about homosexuality, they're so broken at first. And one of the first things I say is, this is in it. God has you in this for you, not to change your loved one, but this is about you. He is going to work out his love story and his plan for your life through this situation. What you think is intended for harm and seems so harsh and harmful at the time, God intends, he has an intention to bring it for good. And so I just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to people, what is God's plan in this situation? It's such an opportunity. If we can believe that this is an opportunity to see God's hand and God's goodness and his love, his great love. It's a process, Dave. I can hear some families saying, yeah, it's easy for her to say this happened a long time ago. It took me a long time to get to that place, to this place. And so I say to people, God was so rich in his grace and mercy to me to give me time and to be gracious and teach me when the time was right. So families certainly want to mourn and go through a grieving process, but they don't have to have 25 years. There are so many resources.
Right.
This was a long time ago for me, 10 years, 20 years for my husband. There are so many more resources available. And in fact, my first book and the second book both are some of the resources that I wish I had had.
Right, right. This is hard-earned wisdom that you're sharing with people.
It is. Well, don't we all know that? That we can get wise, but there's a price to pay. We can get strong, but it's at cost.
Yes, yes. Now, having gone through what you went through with Anne and loving her through it, and seeing her come out of the other side a different person, and yourself as well, what advice and what wisdom can you offer to parents who are just confronting this for the first time, who's maybe their older teenage children or their adult children have come to them and said, I've been keeping this a secret from you, and I'm attracted to someone of the same gender?
I say partly what I said a few minutes ago, that this is about you. It's not about them. Not that it's in the big picture that it's not about them, but I believe that God brings things into our lives according to his word to test our faith and produce in us the quality of endurance. From James chapter 1, this has come to test your faith and produce in you the quality of endurance. And I think that's a banner over our lives for whatever happens. This may not be the issue that some families are dealing with. I've lost 3 children to death, sent them to heaven. They're not lost. Are gained in heaven. So there are all kinds of loss and illnesses and terminal illnesses and challenges of all kinds. But God brings into our life to test our faith and produce in us the quality of endurance. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is he wants us to be like Jesus. And we learn these things through obedience, just like Jesus did. He learned obedience through suffering. So do we. And when we love Jesus and we obey him, we will grow and we will see God's plan and we will embrace God's plan. So I'm really strong on saying this has come to test your faith and produce in you the quality of endurance. It's not about the child. It's about you. God showed me the story of the prodigal family very early on with Anne. And I thought, oh, great. This is going to be our story. Of course I would think this would be the scripture God would show me. But when I finished reading it, he said, no, this is not about Anne. This is about you, Nancy. I am going to be equipping and preparing you. Those words lit up across my forehead. I'm going to be equipping and preparing you to become like the Father. And as long as it takes you to have the heart of the Father is how long it will take for reconciliation. So I put my Bible down and I said, this is about me. This is not about Anne. It's what God was going to be working in my heart. And he began to open his scripture to me. Dave, it seemed as if every scripture I read was about the issue of homosexuality and God's heart toward wounded people.
Well, and certainly when you're dealing with people who are homosexual, there's an awful lot of brokenness and an awful lot of sadness involved in it. And as Christians, sometimes we contribute to that by not being sensitive and not remembering that Jesus sent us to love other people, to love them enough not to leave them where they are, but we're not going to help them if we curse at them, scream at them, or consider them to be condemned to hell already.
Yes, you're so right. We can speak words of blessing and healing over people, which is what Jesus does. We can speak the truth, but we can show love and respect just the way Jesus did. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. We are all sinners. We need to interact with people who are broken and away from the Lord.
Yeah, otherwise,
my heart breaks when I hear about the way some families, in fact, this family that I told you I was praying with just a few days ago, the mother had torn up the pictures of her kids and said, you're not my children anymore.
Ooh.
Well, who was more wounded and broken in that place, the children or the parents? She was so wounded herself that she couldn't love her children in the midst of this, just begging for God's love. Just, Jesus, give me your love because I'm so hurt right now. I'm not diminishing the hurt or the anger, or the frustration, or the shame, or the grief, or all of the emotions that the families have. But ultimately, they've got to sink down on their knees and ask for the love of Jesus, because that's how any of us come to healing, is the love of Jesus. Nobody scolded me into coming to Jesus.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Nobody scolds us and condemns us and turns away from us and says, well, when you get your act cleaned up, then I'll have relationship with you, then you can come to Jesus. No, it's in the midst of love that we come.
Nancy, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you. After I talked to Joe, I said, you know, the only bad thing about doing this interview in such a way, 15 minutes with him, 15 minutes with you as the co-editors, is that I only get to talk to each of you for 15 minutes, and I'd love to get to talk to you for more than that.
A pleasure to talk with you, and I pray God's blessing on his word as he speaks to all of us in his word.
Amen to that. Thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Nancy Hayes, who's the co-general editor with Joe Dallas of The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, a biblical and compassionate response to same-sex attraction. It's from Harvest House Publisher.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
Our thanks again to Joe Dallas and Nancy Hayes as they return to On the Bookshelf today to talk about their new book. We'll see you next Sunday morning at 9:30 on FM 94.7, Sunday afternoon at 2:30 on AM 970 and WTBF.com. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless.